Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We continue our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where the specific question is whether or not a Christian should eat meat offered to idols, but it branches out into a much larger question of the proper exercise of Christian liberty. Paul is answering questions that are being forwarded to him by the Corinthian church. In chapter 7, he answered questions about marriage, all kinds of questions, marriage, divorce, singleness, and so forth. In chapter 8, he is addressing this question about whether a Christian should or should not partake of meat that has been offered to idols. They lived in Corinth. They lived in an idolatrous city. Most of them had been saved out of idolatrous practices. Most of them had worshipped all of their lives in the pagan temple and ate food offered to idols on a regular basis until they came to a knowledge of Christ. And so now the question is, should I eat meat that's been offered to idols, or should I not? If I do, am I partaking in idol worship, or am I not? And these are certainly important questions for their day, but as Paul answers this question, he's dealing with the bigger issue of Christian liberty, as we have seen and as we will continue to see. So, surface question: meat offered to idols. Underlying question: Christian liberty, a proper understanding, exercise, and restraint of Christian liberty. And that's what a lot of Christians don't seem to understand in this whole doctrine of Christian liberty, that Christian liberty needs to be restrained at times. It's not simply that we exercise it. We have liberty to do this. Whoopee, whoopee, whoopee. But it is that sometimes we are to restrain it if we are going to be honoring to the Lord. So, thank you for joining me on this Monday, November 8. Thank you for helping me with your financial gifts. All right, after explaining in the first part of the chapter that the question of eating meat offered to idols is not a simple yes or no answer, but rather it is a complex answer depending upon a proper knowledge and a proper exercise of Christian love. Paul then, in verses 7 through the end of the chapter, which is only through verse 13, gives a very detailed answer to this question. And he says, number one, verse 7, be sensitive to your weaker brother. He says in verse 8, be mindful of the truth about food. Eating food, whether offered to idols or not, or refraining from eating food, again, whether offered to idols or not, or for some other reason, is not what commends us to God. It doesn't draw us closer to Him. It doesn't drive us farther away from Him. But this is what is important to God, and that is that we demonstrate love and concern toward our Christian brother. Verse 9, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, of course, we didn't go through all of those verses again, but that makes it clear that Paul has said, yes, you have permission to eat meat offered to idols. No, it is not an act of idolatrous false worship on your part, if your understanding is correct. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? He sees you doing it, so he says, well, it must be okay. I know a brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're good, mature Christians, and I see them doing it, so I guess I'll do it. But his conscience hasn't been calibrated with proper understanding yet, and it defiles his conscience. Verse 9, and because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? This can have pretty serious ramifications, folks. The Christian brother perish, obviously not talking about eternal destruction in hell, but his Christian growth is damaged, his Christian development is damaged, maybe is a better way to put it. This one for whom Christ died, this one that is known and loved by Christ, and your careless actions are bringing such destruction to his spiritual health and well-being, shame on you. Was exercising your Christian liberty really that important? And so he goes on in verse 12 to say, be understanding of the bigger picture. But when you thus sin against the brethren, it may not be a sin to eat meat offered to idols, but it may be a sin if you do it in such a way that it causes harm to your Christian brother. You see, again, not a simple yes or no answer. It depends. It depends. It depends. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. You sin against your brother, and when you sin against your brother, you sin against Christ. You see, there's more to this than simply the question of idols and food. There's more to this than right doctrine. There's more to this than right understanding of whether an idol is anything or not, and we know that it's not, just a figment of men's imaginations, and whether food offered to idols it contaminates us if we eat that kind of food, as if we are somehow contaminated by the idol or contaminated by being involved in some way in idol worship. No, that's not true. You aren't more spiritually advanced if you don't eat that food, or more spiritually advanced if you do. The brother who thinks that you shouldn't do it thinks he's more spiritual if he doesn't do it, and if you do it, you're sinning, or at least you're a very questionable Christian. And the one who has Christian liberty takes just the opposite position. He thinks that he's more spiritual by exercising that liberty according to knowledge, and he thinks those who are unwilling to do that because their conscience bothers them unnecessarily, they're weak. There's something wrong with them. And the whole issue is you're only viewing this selfishly. What do I think? What do I prefer? What do I decide? And rather than what is most important for others? And when you exercise your Christian liberty in such a way that you cause a brother to be damaged, you're sinning against him, and when you do that, you're sinning against Christ. So, the bottom line is this, in verse 13, and that is, a mature Christian will be willing to forego his Christian liberty for a greater good. That's the statement Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Because Christian love is more concerned about others than yourself. Because Christian liberty is more about refraining than about exercising. I'll come back to that in a moment. Because flaunting Christian liberty reveals incomplete knowledge and weak love. It's generally exercised by people who think they've got superior knowledge. And who cares about what the other person thinks? They have no real Christian love. So Paul does not, in this statement in verse 13, renounce Christian liberty, but he does renounce the exercise of it in certain situations and says that the proper course is based upon love even more than knowledge. The whole issue isn't dependent upon a proper knowledge. I know that an idol is nothing. If you don't understand that, then you need to catch up with me. I know that eating meat offered to idols is not displeasing to God because I am not doing it, thinking that I'm worshiping the idol when I do it. I know that. That's proper knowledge. If you don't understand that, then you're inferior to me and you need to catch up with my knowledge. I know these things, therefore I'm going to do it. And you can just go sit in the corner if you don't like it. No, 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 no. That's where your knowledge has puffed you up, but you are failing to exercise Christian love. See, that takes us clear back to the opening verses of the chapter. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. The person who loves God and loves others and demonstrates that by their willingness to forgo things that they would enjoy doing and that are okay for them to do, but they're willing to forego it for the sake of Christ and the sake of others, they are the most mature Christians. They are the stronger Christians. The ones who are willing to not exercise a Christian liberty if it should be harmful to others, they are the mature ones. And those who go around flaunting their Christian liberty, who think that they are demonstrating their superior Christianity, their more knowledgeable Christianity, they are the ones who really understand, they are the mature Christian ones. No, they're not. Read this chapter again carefully and understand that Christian liberty, as it's presented in Scripture, as it's dealt with by the Apostle Paul, Christian liberty is more about refraining from your using your liberty than it is about exercising your Christian liberty. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. That's the mature Christian attitude. I will never do that thing that I know I have Christian liberty to do, but not if it damages a Christian brother. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.